Today's audiocast for Monday, June 26, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. A strong voice speaking out against user fees for general aviation, Secretary of Transportation Norman Y. Mineta has submitted to President Bush his letter of resignation. Mineta, who will resign effective July 7, appeared to be a moderating influence on FAA head Marion Blakey's apparent ambition to institute widespread user fees throughout the system. He was occasionally at odds or seemingly confused by the FAA's drive toward a user pay system, particularly when it concerned general aviation. While sometimes seeming to dissect business aviation from general aviation, he publicly stated his opposition to GA user fees in several high-profile forums, including AOPA Expo in Tampa last November. While key alphabet groups AOPA, NBAA, and NATA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, the National Business Aviation Association, and the National Air Transport Association, respectively, offered unanimous praise for Mineta and disappointment over his announced departure. The key question facing most pilots may be, so who's next? That's especially true if Marion Blakey, the current FAA administrator, is Mineta's most natural replacement. Some view Blakey as overtly leaning toward user fees. For her part, Blakey, who headed the NTSB prior to heading the FAA, offered a four-line and complimentary news release on Mineta's resignation. A new job is not yet hers to accept, but when it comes to privatization and user fees, the name on the door at the Department of Transportation may not matter much, since direction for the overhaul of the FAA seems to be coming from the Oval Office. Meanwhile, over at the Government Accountability Office, a recently released document covering air traffic control modernization may indicate that changes could come to VFR flight in the United States. None of the wording should strike panic in the hearts of devoted blue sky flyers, but references in the document seem to suggest a clear view of just how VFR fits into the next generation air traffic system has not yet been distilled. The report contains three references calling it a critical policy issue to determine the extent to which the future air traffic system will accommodate visual flight rules versus instrument-only flights. The level of monitoring needed by pilots when automation is ensuring safe separation from surrounding aircraft is another concern, as is the inevitability of screens going dark. Other than that, the GAO's report appears mostly encouraging of the FAA and largely benign. Representatives of pilot groups in dozens of countries have resolved to press their respective governments to adopt uniform standards for sense and avoid capabilities in unmanned aerial vehicles. AOPA has been lobbying aggressively for those standards since the FAA threw up temporary flight restrictions on the U.S.-Mexico border earlier this year to protect the UAVs used to catch illegal immigrants and drug smugglers. The resolution was among several passed at the International Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association General Assembly in Toronto earlier this week. UAV has become a global threat to general aviation in recent years, and delegates agree that measures were needed to protect GA from the drones, not the other way around. While pilot groups in other countries can do little to directly influence the debate on user fees in the U.S., AOPA can learn from those delegates who have plenty of experience with the fee-based systems used in their own countries. The U.S. remains the only major aviation-invested country with a mainly government-run aviation services sector, although the recent takeover of flight service stations by Lockheed Martin chips away at that distinction. AOPA President Phil Boyer, who's also IAOPA president, didn't have to look far for validation of his anti-user fee stance. Canadian Owner and Pilots Association President Kevin Sutka told delegates at the International Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association meeting that the numbers are clear. Pilots pay more under user fees. And so the war against user fees that have yet to be proposed continues. An inconvenient bill that's been lurking under the legislative radar in New York for almost 4 years has been revived by the state Senate and will hurt the flight training industry there, according to local schools and pilot organizations. In 2002, New York, like many other states, thought it prudent to step into federal jurisdiction by trying to institute background checks on student pilots. As protests grew and federal regulations came into play, most states simply dropped their initiatives. However, New York's background check law has remained on the legislative agenda and was revived last week by a vote in the Senate. If passed by the Assembly and finally adopted as law, it would prevent anyone from taking flying lessons without approval from the state's Division of Criminal Justice Services. The endurance and fortitude of two Wisconsin pilots, not to mention the wearability of certain parts of their anatomy, was put to the test last week as they raised money for sick children and possibly set an aviation record. Matt McDaniel and Dr. Bruce Kaufman took a total of 17 hours to land at all 102 public-use paved airports in the state, as well as a private field and a military base. But the real mission was to raise $10,000 for the Pediatric Neurosurgery Unit at the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Kaufman runs the neurosurgery unit and owns the Cirrus SR-22 used in the effort. McDaniel, who has held the Master CFI designation, is a Boeing 717 pilot for Midwest Airlines and owns Progressive Aviation Services, which specializes in Cirrus. The two men donated their own money to pay for the effort and will pass any publicly donated funds along to the hospital. Another money-raising issue may not be met with similar approval. U.S. airports will spend at least $927 million to prepare for the arrival of the Airbus A380, and the chairman of the House Aviation Subcommittee says not a nickel of it should come from federal coffers. Representative John Mica said last week the airport improvement funds shouldn't be used to beef up runways and bridges and expand terminals for the 555-seat jet because of the squabble the U.S. is having with the European Union over alleged subsidies paid to Airbus's manufacturer, EADS. If the government follows through on Mica's suggestion, it would knock a big hole in the plans of 18 airports to get ready for the double-decker jets. The airports currently hope to pay for about half the cost using the Airport Improvement Fund. In Los Angeles County, the Sheriff's Department has met an FAA roadblock while on its quest to use an aerial surveillance drone on official police business. But the feds left no ambiguity about who rules the skies when they ordered the Skyseer unmanned aerial vehicle grounded just before the department was about to launch a demo flight for reporters. Local media reports indicate the sheriff's office stated it had obtained FAA permissions for the test, but FAA spokeswoman Laura Brown told the Daily Breeze the FAA has told the sheriff he can't operate these UAVs until proper conditions have been met. The sheriff's office agreed to stand down until the paperwork has been found or filed, as the case may be. XLJet officials say it might have been wake turbulence or some kind of freak meteorological event that turned their sport jet prototype on its wing and sent it cartwheeling along the runway at Colorado Springs Airport on June 22nd. According to a news release from XLJet, witnesses reported the plane rolled 90 degrees about 30 feet above the runway while taking off on its 25th test flight. It struck a wing and cartwheeled onto its tail, causing substantial damage. Both pilots were checked at the hospital and released. The aircraft was nearing the end of its initial round of flight testing, and the company had just received word that it had been approved to fly at EAA AirVenture in Oshkosh next month. The FAA is ignoring the wishes of the House and breaking a promise to four Florida congressmen with a secret plan to speed up consolidation of the Palm Beach Terminal Radar Approach Control Center into Miami, according to Representative Al C. Hastings, a Florida Democrat. Hastings says on his website, it's unbelievable the agency would pursue its controversial cost-cutting plan in the face of a House vote 10 days ago that would prevent the action. The Senate hasn't considered a parallel bill, although that's supposed to happen in July. Hastings suggests the FAA's decision to press ahead with consolidation may have been political retribution or the agency working to punish those spearheading opposition to its plan. The FAA hasn't yet commented. Symphony Aircraft Industries has filed for creditor protection under Canadian bankruptcy laws and is seeking $6 to $10 million in fresh capital to continue operations at its plant in Quebec. CEO Paul Costanza says he's been having trouble raising venture capital in Canada and is considering moving the plant to the United States. The company is holding a news conference Tuesday. AirVenture Oshkosh is just about a month away, and AvWeb readers can expect expanded coverage, extra issues, more podcasts, and an updated AvWeb.com homepage. Check back often as we work to make the most reliable and accurate aviation news even more readily accessible. Find all these stories and a lot more online today at AvWeb.com. avweb.com. Comments on this podcast are always welcome. You can email us at audionews@avweb.com. This report has been made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast on Friday, June 9th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.